This is episode 186 of Extraordinary Women Radio. Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. Happy February. Here we are into our second month of the new year already. And so many good things are happening here in my circle of extraordinary women. My Facebook community, Extraordinary Women Connect, passed the 1,000 member milestone a few weeks ago. Extraordinary Women Radio surpassed 40,000 downloads, and my clients are coming out of the 2021 gates, stepping into their genius. I'm so proud of all of them. We're about to hit 200 episodes on Extraordinary Women Connect, and I would love it if you would pause this episode and go out and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find us. And if you're not already a member of Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook group, jump over there and join us. We are all about connecting great women to great women and helping each other raise up voices, raise up visibility, and grow businesses. So many of our guests from Extraordinary Women Radio have joined us there, so you will be in great company. And today, I am thrilled to introduce you to Nikita Ren Thigpen, the number one balance and relationship advisor in the world. Nikita has become the go-to for fast-scaling married women entrepreneurs and power couples seeking to balance love and success. She is the creator of the Breakthrough Paradigm, the Joy Map Method, and an international best-selling author of the book Selfish, Transformative Empowerment Speaker. She's the CEO of ThigPro Balance and Relationship Management Institute. Nikita and her team set out every day to inspire, equip, and empower her client partners to amplify intimacy 360 degrees across all key relationships so they can create joy and achieve whole success. Today in our time together, we get into balance and joy, growing your business, boundaries, and love and intimacy. Sounds like all things life to me. I love this interview. Let's meet Nikita Ren Thigpen. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Nikita. It is so great to have you join us today.
Well, thank you, Cami. I am honored to be here.
Yeah, I have been so excited to talk to you and learn more about your work, learn more about your stories. Our dear mutual friend, Jessica Rhodes, introduced us, and I just adore Jessica and the whole Interview Connections team.
Then we already have something in common because I absolutely love them all.
Yep. Jessica, Margie. Yep. All of them, that they are mm-hmm. so amazing. And it's so much fun to every time I meet anybody from that community, it's like, they're just good people. They're people doing good things in the world. And they draw the right people into their community.
Yeah, which makes it feel safe when they recommend someone, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel the same.
Yeah. Well, Nikita, I want to start with your story. I want to start with your personal mm-hmm. journey. And you are running an amazing business. And I want to know, how did you get to this point? What's the journey been? Because I know it hasn't been just a straight line from there to here. So tell us just a little bit of this arcway of what's gotten you to where you're at.
Yeah, no, great question, Cami. And I know you and I were talking before we started about the layers that women have, that people have, but especially mm-hmm. women, we are layered. And my story is not different in that respect. Lots of twists and turns along my journey. So I started off, my business is almost 10 years old. We'll be 10 in May of this year. So entrepreneurship.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Entrepreneurship is a decade for me at this point. I feel like a veteran almost.
That's a great milestone. I hit 10 years, I think it just a little over a year ago. And it feels so good when you hit that, right?
It does. You almost feel like, did you have that feeling when you turned 30? You were like, hey, I'm a real adult now.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's really how I feel now too, as a business owner. And all parts of the process we love and we nurture and we cherish, but it does feel different when you can feel like you're kind of an adult inside your life and in your business. So prior to becoming an adult again in my business that way, my journey started as a licensed clinical social worker, a trauma specialist, sexologist, relationship therapist, like all things human behavior. I really just wanted to understand why people did certain things or didn't do certain things to make their lives full and rich and healthy and whole. That were anchored to whatever their experiences were that may have actually been traumatic.
So you you love mm-hmm. to study people and behaviors, and that's yes. awesome.
Yeah. It was really important for me to be really clear about how we define trauma. Like some people think, oh, well, I wasn't sexually abused or I wasn't in any kind of intimate partner violence. So it doesn't, you know, matter to me. Like that's not why I'm having difficulties or challenges. What a lot of people didn't understand as my work got deeper and deeper, and I understood the legs that trauma and micro threats that traumas, those smaller traumas can have, is it also includes ways that you might have been violated when someone belittled you and mm-hmm. You held onto that and you stored it a certain way, limiting your ability to shine, for lack of a better phrase, or to be, in your case, extraordinary, right?
Yeah. And it kind of makes that emotion or that feeling in your body making you kind of pull in smaller is what I'm guessing yeah. that feels like.
Absolutely. And I wanted to know why. I wanted to know, not just for the other people, but quite honestly, Cammie, I wanted to know why I did it at right. certain times of my life, right?
Right. And I like that you say that it wasn't, you know, it didn't have to be some big trauma, that there can be just some instant that happened, mm-hmm. some place in our life that we carried forward.
Absolutely. So I would hear a lot along, you know, all of the parts of my life, like in terms of a clinician being in practice, I would hear people say, well, I don't have that big trauma story. So does that mean I also won't have the big success on the other side? Because, you know, we all hear it, right? Like mm-hmm. if you study all the quote unquote gurus out there, they've all had something, at least reportedly, they've all had something, you know, their family abandoned them. They were raised in foster care, right? Like there was right. some like major thing that happened. So other people listening would feel like, well, I didn't have that. I had both my parents. We were in a nuclear family. Other than my siblings getting on my nerve, for the most part, there wasn't any like major bullying. So does this mean that I can't be successful and that I won't have healthy, happy relationships? So with deep studying, because I am a hashtag nerd for life, right? so with really deep studying of that and being removed from my own biases, because we do bring our own biases into every situation, I really got to understand that some people were denying their experience that was traumatic, even if it was a quote unquote smaller, although we have to be careful with that word by, mm-hmm. you know, measuring out someone's experience, but compared to, you know, something maybe catastrophic, right? Or military level PTSD.
Right.
People were denying their right to grieve and acknowledge that they had something that needed healing so that they could be restored from that, just because it wasn't seen as a quote unquote trauma in the eyes of the news, right? Like right. the news wasn't right. reporting it. So that really led me down the funnel of all things, figuring out why people were kind of stuck in this survival mode. Mm-hmm. And as a clinician, quite honestly, Cammie, that was my job, is to be with you in your process, to help you figure out the rooted dysfunction, to get your legs underneath of you so that you could navigate and start to survive post-trauma once you had identified or became aware of it, regardless of when that awareness was unlocked. Where things got rocky for me, quite honestly, is I wasn't happy doing it. I was really good at it and I loved it, but I wasn't in love with it.
Right.
So, right. So if any of you listening have been in any kind of relationship, you know what's the difference. Mm-hmm.
Right? You definitely know. And, you know, mm-hmm. I came out of the corporate world and I had those same sorts of things. I knew there was something more, but I didn't know what it was, but that's what I'd always mm-hmm. done. How did you make the leap from, okay,
this isn't where I need to be. There's something else for me. How did you step into that?
Like a scared little kitten. I would love to say that was this, you know, gigantic, big, brave moment. It wasn't. I am very spiritual and I prayed for some clarity. I wanted to have an idea of what in the world, even though I was in my 30s at the time, you know, what in the world I would do one day, someday when I grew up. And I got a spiritual download of what this kind of self-care institute that it would become would look like at its grandest levels. Like I could see the layers and the impact and the collaboration as a huge visual that I could see. And it was years before I would actually, quote unquote, jump into entrepreneurship when I received that download. It was exciting. It was intoxicating. And it was also scary. Like it really made me freeze and the reality of, well, how do I get from here? Mm-hmm. You know, doing psychotherapy and medical and clinical social work and all the things that I was doing all the way over to these big girl boss pants. Like, how do I get there? And I didn't ask for those steps originally. Like all my prayers have been about what will I become? I didn't ask how to start. Right? Like significant difference.
Mm-hmm. You could see the vision, but you didn't know and you weren't asking.
I was not asking because I honestly didn't know to ask. Like coaching was not familiar to me outside of, you know, you're an athlete, you get a coach for endurance, mm-hmm. strength, nutrition, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that. I was not born from a group of entrepreneurs. Hard workers, yes. Hustlers, yes. Entrepreneurs, no. Mm-hmm. So I mm-hmm. didn't know anything about this support and this guidance mm-hmm. that women like you do in the world. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. So I didn't know how, honestly, to ask how to do it. It was more of a, well, what will it be versus the how to become it, if that makes sense.
Right, right, right.
And so I got kind of stuck on idle in that kind of space of inertia, but like, well, what do I do? So I did pray, still not asking the right questions, but I prayed. I was still working. Obviously, I was in a doctorate program at the time for public health, trying to figure out corporate wellness and stress-induced behaviors and breakdowns that were happening in organizations where helpers weren't being supported at helping the other people, like all the things. I didn't know that I was on the right track. I just knew that I wanted to go deeper because I'm really, really good at going deep. Mm-hmm. And as a nerd, I was just going deep into education, thinking that would be my answer, but still not feeling completely satisfied, you know, in the process, right? Like when you just know I'm stuck in this relationship, I'm still dating this person, I'm holding on, hoping that it'll get better. We're trying new types of dates and it's still there, the spark isn't happening. Like that's kind of what was happening for me.
Right.
The short version of the story is it took me a couple of years to get out of my own way and commit to doing things differently. Cause I mm-hmm. literally was asking the same question over and over again. Mm-hmm. Right. The key definition of insanity, right? I was moving and, you know, what the world was seeing in my life, like our portfolio looked great. We had the house, the picket fence, the 2.5 kids, the dog, you know, all the things. But in my mental reality, behind the curtains of what was really happening for Nikita, I felt really stuck. Mm-hmm. Because again, I was in that loop of, you know, asking myself, not going to other advisors and people who could show me and help me and support me and guide me. I wasn't stepping outside of there because I didn't even know where to turn. So my commitment happened when I had a scare, quite honestly. I had a reality. I had kind of a mini download of like how I could start. It ended up being the wrong way, by the way, but, it was.
Mm-hmm. But it gave you an idea that you could start.
Yeah, it gave
me like some motion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like somebody parked the car. It's not the best car, but it is a car mm-hmm. outside the house and gave me the keys. And I go, okay, well, I'm trying to get to the next point. But I didn't do any investigation. Like, how mm-hmm. good is this car? How much gas is in it? Right? Like, I didn't do any of that. But I did, you know, I bossed up and I said, well, let me just go for it. I committed to that. And then I put my foot on the pedal of the gas of that car when I got a health scare. I had multiple doctors for just, you know, how women are. We schedule our annual visits plus our OBGYN. Like we do everything in a day because we're busy and
right.
one day off to take care of all the appointments. And both physicians who had not talked to each other both felt a lump in my breast. And that was, and again, I hadn't told, you know, chicken or egg. I hadn't told them anything about what was going on. And they both said the same thing. Both gave me prescriptions for a mammogram immediately. And I have a long history with that in my family, with double mastectomies and all that for a lot of the women in my family. So we got on it, but I remembered it was my birthday weekend. And I, at that Friday was my birthday weekend for all the doctor's appointments. So I squeezed in to that weekend because why not? Why wouldn't I do that? And I remember coming home to my husband and was like, I'm giving my 6 week notice. If I got to go out, I'm not going out, not feeling like I was walking in my purpose.
So I,
you know, what would be the phrase? I catastrophized a little bit, right? Like I made something that was just about a checkup. I made it really, really big and I magnified the negative potential, but that honestly got my foot into gear. I went completely forward and never looked back. With entrepreneurship.
And so often when we get those moments that create that catalyst that get us to move our feet, it can feel so much forward so quickly that it can become, you know, almost so much can come at you. The universe gets all in with you and says, okay, now we're going to support you. But before we go down that pathway, how did your health turn out through that?
Oh, I ended up being fine. I still have to have regular mammograms because of the history, but my bronchos were negative in terms of your genetic tests and all that stuff. So I was absolutely good in that respect.
But it got you moving. So there's your I don't want to say gift, but it is what moved you, right?
Yep, it is. And you know, for anyone listening, you know, you may or may not have been as rebellious, willful, ridiculous as I am, or at least as I was in my younger years. But I was the kid that touched the stove twice. Like I was the kid that you touched it and someone said, it's hot, don't do that. Don't you feel it? I'm like, yeah, but I don't know really how hot it was because you yelled at me. So I didn't get to feel it all the way. So let me really go in and like see it for myself. So I was like that kid that was like double, triple checking before I made the final decision. So to, you know, actually stop touching the stove. So in that case, like I needed not one doctor, but, you know, two doctors and mammograms and all the other stuff to come. I needed those double, triple kind of scares to
really push you out the door. So you go out, you start your business. So this is 10 years ago, you started your business. Let's jump into, tell everyone what your work is today and how you serve people today.
Yeah, I started with the same overall mission that was connected to my download, even though the feet on the ground part of it was a little bit different than what it looks like now. It was all about building stronger families. So it was all still kind of anchored to my past in the traditional clinical sense, you know, from a psychotherapy perspective. I wanted to build stronger families and I wanted to do it in a way that would fully support them, that wasn't necessarily anchored to, you know, a metric that the state was giving because they wanted to keep their kid or they wanted to stay out of a nasty divorce or something like that. I wanted to really support couples that were trying to create a new legacy, a new generation that could disrupt the patterns from those previous generational curses that maybe even they had gotten swept up into at some point. So today we work specifically with power couples who are striving to live fully. They don't want to just be successful on paper, the house, the picket fence, the car, the dogs, right? Like all the things that I was struggling with too. They actually want whole success.
They want the joy.
Passion.
The passion. Right.
Intimacy, right? They want to swing from chandeliers if that's their vibe. Right? They want to be able to do it all. So, yeah.
I love it. I love it. And I love the way that you bring such a holistic approach to this, that, you know, it's, you know, to be in our world, it's, as you said, it's multi-layers, it's multi-dimensional. And there's so many different ways that you work with couples. That was one of the things I really loved was just when I was, you know, looking at ways, you know, this interview could go. It's like, there's so much richness in how you are helping people. So let's start with, and I love this, a mathematical formula to create more joy and balance in every life. Tell us what that is, because that intrigued me. It caught my attention. And We all want more balance and joy in our life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I always go into what balance isn't, right? Like a lot of us get caught into the semantics. You know, I was definitely guilty of that years and years ago. You know, people get into that, well, there's no such thing as work-life balance. Nothing is 50-50. Then you hear the other side of, well, it's 100-100. You know, everyone just has to show 100. And I do subscribe to the latter, right? Like you should be fully invested into whatever activity or relationship you're in. But that's not always possible in that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like sometimes you just
got to be in the moment. There's only so much of you to go around.
Absolutely. Sometimes that, you know, life and or work has just kind of hit you in the gut and made you, you know, have cause for pause for the moment. So for the way that I look at balance is I broke it down in a formula. It's T like Tom, over B like boy, for those of you who are listening. So T over B. It is your truth, admitting the truth of what you want and what you need over the boundaries that you create to achieve that truth as your reality and keeping distractions out. Mm. So an example of this would be for all of the women that are specifically listening, because I know a lot of your listeners happen to be high-level career professionals and or business women and entrepreneurs. If you say you want to be a mogul, who is extremely privately philanthropic. Mm-hmm. If this is what you say is your truth, this is who you want to become, then we have to put some boundaries in place so you can achieve that truth as your reality, right?
Right.
Which means keeping some of those distractions out that aren't a part of that. So when your friends or colleagues get caught in those humble brags that we see on Instagram all the time, where there's like a dad having his 10-year-old wash his car, but the camera is strategically placed to see that it's a Maserati that the kid is watching.
Right.
So it's really not about this bonding time. It's really about like, hey, I have a Maserati, right?
Exactly. Like,
those humble brags. You want to be mindful to not get caught up in that, because your truth, according to this, you know, hypothetical, is you want to be a mogul and private about your philanthropy, which would also indicate you want to be private about kind of in totality how much you have in assets, so that you can give in a big way and people won't make assumptions about your money, right? Like a Warren Buffett style, whatever car he's driving at this time. If you saw the man on the street and didn't actually know him, you wouldn't think anything about his billions, right? Because you would just never know. And not to say that you have to like be in a, you know, a tiny little car, but just being really mindful about, you know, living in alignment with your truth. It would also look like if you're a mogul in the making who, again, wants to be private about your philanthropy, I can't say the word today. If that's really who you are, then guess what? Your girlfriend who's getting married for the seventh time, who just had a divorce party 6 months ago, no judgment, it's all good. Everybody finds love in their own time. You may not be able to commit another 4 hours to another wedding, right?
Right.
You may have to say, you know what, Lisa, love you, girl. Send me your registry and I will send you a gift and or I'll take you out for an hour lunch whenever we can get together in the next couple of months. You're like really honoring the projects and the priorities that you have on your plate, so you're not feeling stretched all over the world and now resenting going to Lisa's seventh wedding in the first place, right?
Right. So and I think that's the clarity around what we find important, knowing who we are, knowing that. And I love that you use the word truth, knowing our truth and how we want to show up in the world, how we want to interact, engage, is so important that it helps us, you know, be able to make the decisions, be able to look at boundaries. And, you know, I know boundaries are huge for everyone as entrepreneurs, as women. Boundaries are such an important topic that we all struggle with. We all, you know, how do we create these boundaries? What do you know about boundaries that we all need to know?
Yeah, no, that's a really valuable one, because boundaries literally have to be instilled for you to create your own balance, to live the truth that, of whoever you're becoming. Part of the first thing that I always like to share about boundaries is you can't say that there's a wrong. It's not a black or white, right? Like, so for me, going to my friend Lisa's 7th wedding is not in alignment with my truth of who I'm becoming, right? And it's not a judgment about her relationships. It's all about me valuing my time and being honest about, like, hey, I showed up at the other 6, now come on, right? Like, and you know, I'm not a bad friend because I chose not to be at this 7th one, you know, like this 7th event when I have 5 other friends that I also want to be there and, you know, show up and support. So it's not a black or white. It's, you know, you might say, well, I hated all other 6 partners that she had. So I'm definitely in alignment with this one and I have to get that. So there's no judgment about that. It's what works for you and you being in a space where you can be really unapologetic for it. And part of that looks like breaking expectations. So I break boundaries down, actually, to be very, very specific. I break it down into 5 separate permission zones. The zones of your life where you need to have boundaries around, which gives you kind of like that holistic symbolism, if you will, of what it feels good to have really rich boundaries for yourself. So if you allow me, Cammy, I can break
please.
It down.
Yeah, please.
Okay. So it's 5 zones. So if you think of a piece of paper with 4 squares and then put a square in the middle, it almost looks like one of those weird Tetris matrix, right? Like
I can see that.
Right. And you're going to put a word in each one of those boxes. So in the very center box is your boundary, your permission zone of boundary around your faith, whatever is pulling you forth. I don't care what your faith is. Your faith is your faith. It's personal, but whatever is pulling you forth, because the reality is there is something bigger than you out here in the world, whatever, you know, some people are like, well, I'm a naturopath. So it's about herbs and trees and plants and, you know, the breath of life that's coming from all living things. Okay. No judgment. Whatever's pulling you forth, you have to have a boundary around that, which means you have to have time to fill up in that boundary area. So if you believe that, you know, the plants and the herbs and trees and all kinds of things are pulling you forth because it's giving you life, then are you making room to connect with your faith center? Are you having, I don't know, 15 minutes a day to study, to learn more, to sit and meditate and do grounding work, which usually is you connecting to earth, you know, barefoot? Like, are you doing these things that you're saying are important to you? Because if you're not, then you're already, and we didn't even touch the other 4, you're not living your truth, right? You're
just
a talking head around all these convictions that you're not actually walking out.
Yeah, so and I love that you bring that to the center there. I think it feels, because it's at the very core of who we are, the very soul of who we are. I think that feels like a center place.
Absolutely. It's crucial from where I stand. It's super crucial. It also gives you a little perspective, which is one of the zones that I won't touch yet, but it gives you a little perspective when you feel out of control and things in life, you know, storms are, you know, literal and figurative. Storms are happening all around you. You know that there's something bigger than you and everything is not being caused by you when you have faith. So that's one of the other reasons to like be mindful that as big as we are and as much power as we have, we're still a part of a bigger piece of this puzzle.
Absolutely. So what a good lesson kind of, for this past year, right?
Yeah, like seriously, right?
Exactly.
The unsolicited disruptive gift of the pandemic alone.
Right.
Absolutely. So one of the, if you were going to the top left of this kind of Tetris-like matrix with the 5 squares, we have faith in the center. Top left is perspective, is being able to have a boundary around the time that you spend feeding your perspective. Our perspectives are naturally rooted in the scripts that were created for us before we could walk and talk and do all the things and before we were independent. Those scripts specifically were from like our parents, our caregivers, our environment, our coaches, our trainers when we were little, our dance teachers, the things that they would say and or show us when we were somewhere between 3rd trimester in our mother's belly, all the way to, depending on the science journal you read, somewhere between 7 and 9 years old, we were absorbing all of that we were hearing as our script, as our truth. And as we got older, we started to imprint those scripts as our narrative that we would eventually live out in all of our relationships and all the ways we would become as, you know, early teenagers into early adulthood. That would become our lively narrative, kind of dictating where we were going. if we are not feeding the perspective to give us some clarity on who we want it to be and not just living out the lives of who we were told to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So give me an example of perspective, like just a single word, even that something that might be a perspective.
I would say one perspective is I'm not enough.
Okay.
If you were, you know, in an environment where you were constantly criticized growing up, it could be an older sibling, didn't have to be your parents, right? Mm-hmm. But someone who left an imprint on you, left that script. Were constantly telling you, you can't play anything right. You're just so bad at sports. If they were constantly giving you that.
Right.
And that could be one person one time. Guys, it doesn't have to be like repeatedly every day, but it's just worse. It deepens if it was repeatedly every day. Mm-hmm. But if you held on to that, or someone sexualized you, even verbally, you're, you know, walking down the street and someone says like, oh, you know, you're just asking for it in that short skirt. You know, if they say something like that, that become when you're younger and you don't even know, you're like, what are you talking about? I got on my hockey uniform. Like, what's happening here?
Right.
But when they do that, if it imprinted in you because the violation in and of itself was traumatic, that becomes a script. So you start to feel less than even when you are of consenting age, right? And an adult in have the right to wear a mini skirt if you so choose.
Yeah. The word imprint really, that I understand, that really resonates with me. And I think that it's, and it's that piece that you were talking about early on in our interview about that we hold those traumas, big or small or whatever they might be there, and they become imprinted in us. So that's there within us.
Yeah, definitely. And so the way you shift your perspective in your boundary zone is you feed yourself new perspectives. You're not looking for things to confirm the way that you already feel is not enough. You're looking for things that give you, you know, breaking the box ideas. So you might start reading about animals. Like, well, how do, you know, animal behaviors show up or compare to adults? Like, I'm taking something far-fetched, but you start looking at other things, you know, looking at how artists move and think and become who they are and who can tap into all kinds of parts of their creativity that you've never maybe truly been able to. That helps you shift your perspective when you broaden yourself and become a forever learner, quite honestly.
Interesting. That's so cool. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Thank you. So the third, fourth, and fifth ones are pretty quick. The third one is breaking expectations. Mm-hmm. This is the hardest one for people because they have to start looking at their own private expectations. You know, you and I are over 30. I'll just say that. We look great, but we're over 30. Right.
And yeah, so absolutely.
There's a 22-year-old version of us that said, you know, I'm going to have this by this age and do this and become that and, you know, all that. Mm-hmm. If we're still holding on to that 20, 30 years and beyond later, we're still bound to our own private expectations of what we did or didn't do at a certain time in our life. And it's literally a weighted anchor that's holding that ship stuck right where it is. We're not moving because we're literally anchored to a private expectation.
We're holding on to that thing that we set for ourselves all those years ago.
Yeah. No matter how much we achieve, we're constantly comparing ourselves to the fact that we didn't do X by Y time or by A time, you know? And of course it spreads out, you know, you could be holding yourself to someone else's expectation of who you would or wouldn't be worthy of becoming. If you come from a really dysfunctional family, right? Your parents said you would never be, and then you decided to prove them wrong. And before you know it, you're doing so much work at proving people wrong that you don't even know how you ended up in this career that you're actually not connected to anymore. So breaking expectations is crucial, and just being mindful of where those expectations are coming in. So kind of setting boundaries around that when you find yourself doing things that look good on paper, but you're not connected to, that's part of evaluating whether or not you need a boundary for that and like to filter what's coming in and what isn't. Personal habits is easy. That's the fourth boundary zone is, you know, you need to anchor your day or bookend your day, the morning and the evening, with things that set you up for success. So you need to put that on your calendar, right? Like make a time slot, 7 a.m. or whatever time, 10 a.m. appointment with yourself. to feed your soul, to feed your body, to exercise, to move, to meditate, whatever that looks like. Journaling, all the things that are personal habits that really help you feel whole and in flow is really important. And the last one is anchored to all four of them because it's your energy management capacity.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes, I love this one.
Right? And having boundaries around that are crucial because here are where the detractors seep in. Some people say energy vampires, some people say energy zappers, but the detractors attach themselves when it's like they sniff a leak in your energy management capacity of what you are and aren't doing, and they leech onto it and they start to slowly, it's not a hard, big gulping suck, it's a slow leak that you don't even realize until you're almost completely empty. And honestly, guys, this could be your kids, like real talk. If you have older or adult kids that don't have good boundaries for lots of reasons, and they're constantly attaching themselves to you, wanting more, not appreciating what you give them, it could be your forever lover. It could be your parents. There's so many. And of course, we can get into the work side of this. There could be your team and leaders and all that. That could also be sucking from you because you haven't closed the lid. People have way too much access to you. You should be available, but not always accessible. And that's right. How you kind of close that up.
Right. This is so good. And it's really aligned too. I mean, when I think about working with business owners, so much of this goes right to, these same categories, these same buckets, because we drain our energy. We let our energy get drained from us because we don't set those boundaries. And we aren't making the space to take care of ourselves. Right. How we resonate is so important to how we show up in our businesses. And all of these factors really, really are intimately tied to how successful we can be in our businesses.
Absolutely.
And I love how, just taking this back to your formula, the truth over the need over the truth and need over the boundary. So looking at how we create our boundaries, and this is all going to tie to more joy. It's going to tie to this more balance in our life. And then we can fully show up in whichever category of our life that we're looking at fully as ourselves and in a much different space.
Absolutely. And honestly, Cammy, so the T over B, the truth over your boundaries, is really just the balance part. That's just you getting in balance. Once you do that, now we can add the other part of the formula, which is now we can have healthy relationships because we have such good boundaries now that we know what healthy relationships look like. We know that we have to give and receive. We can't just always be giving. We understand that now because we have all these things kind of working for us under our boundaries so we can be completely focused. And I don't want to say anchor because that always sounds, kind of negative, but now we can be completely glued in a good way to the goals or the milestones that we wanted to create for where we're going. So once you have your T over your B, you can add the HR, which is the healthy relationships, and then you multiply it by intimacy squared to create your joy.
Oh, I'm so glad you just, because that's what's at the top of my mind right now. It's like, we got to talk about intimacy.
You like that pivot?
A totally great pivot. So perfect. And I love how you're attaching all of these, because this is just so true. Our lives are so intricately integrated that if we're not taking care of ourselves through all these different aspects of ourselves, we can't fully show up in any space. But tell me, let's talk about intimacy. It's something that I think is such a juicy part of your work. And what does intimacy mean to you?
It's honestly simple, but not easy. It's deeper connection. When you create intimacy, it's just creating. And I say simple, not easy, because it's a lot of work involved, depending on what needs to be cleaned up and descripted and depatternized and all of that. But it's just creating a deeper connection. So we can have intimacy with ourselves, which we should, because it always starts with us, and then layers out to the people who matter to us. But there's leadership intimacy, customer intimacy, right?
Because it's absolutely just all... That's exactly, as a business coach, that's where my mind goes, although that's right. Not where I want to spend our time. I want to spend it on that intimacy with our partners, and you call them our
forever love.
Our forever mm-hmm. loves, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I love that.
Thank you.
Because I think this is so important for us to be able to think about our intimate relationships, and we can't be our best selves in our work or anything that we're doing as a parent unless we're in those intimate relationships, whatever those might look like. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if we're not connected to the deepest parts of ourselves, which means being aware, which is the not easy part, right? Mm-hmm. Being aware of those fractured places, those unhealed places, those patterns that we're bringing from dysfunction, you know, because sometimes mm-hmm. you can only be what you see, you know, I mean, that's a little bit of alliteration, but it's true for many of us when you don't have the perspective of other awarenesses of things that are bigger than you out there, right? So like mm-hmm. all that kind of comes back in, mm-hmm. but creating that emotional intimacy with yourself and then, you know, layering out, we're all adults in here, layering in the physical intimacy. If I don't feel comfortable touching myself, and I just mean like actual, just physical touch, not even like super sexual touch, uh-huh. if I don't feel comfortable with that, or looking in the mirror at myself without criticizing everything that's wrong with me, it's really going to be hard for me to create a deeper connection with someone that I want to love me and have intimacy with me, right?
Because right.
I'm being self-critical so much that, or not even able to look at myself, that it's weird and uncomfortable and it doesn't feel close and authentic if someone else is now looking at me.
Right.
Even if their intention is pure and they see me as sexy and amazing and all this stuff, if I'm not seeing myself that way, it's really hard for me to believe them. When right. they're saying, you know, no, Nikita, my truth is you are everything. And if I'm over here like, no, I'm not, because I have this wrong and that wrong and the cellulite and the loose muscle. And, you know, if I'm just breaking down all these things that I see as wrong, I'm pushing them away and making them feel like, one, they're not heard. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing what they're saying. I'm now definitely not validating. And I'm completely pushing all of the potential desire that was filling up for them. I'm crushing it because I'm constantly overcompensating for my own insecurities by telling them what they're not seeing and what they're not believing. And we do it in our own ways. Like some of us right. do it verbally, some do it, you know, with the way that we hide from the intimacy, not ever being available for it and not making time for it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you recommend to your power couple clients to help break through some of that?
Yeah. So we do something where we use, and I have an acronym for everything, so forgive me. I have an acronym for everything. I do this kind of 5-step deepening connection tool with all of our couples at some part in our process, where we say, let's not just catch the lover, let's keep him. So like, I want you to, if you're a heterosexual couple that you're the woman and I'm talking to you about your man, I'm like, I don't want you to just catch him. I want you to keep him. So, and vice versa, right? Like wherever, mm-hmm. whoever we're talking to. Mm-hmm. So CATCH, CATCH is a quick acronym. The first C is being consistent. You have to be consistent in whatever you say you're going to complete. And this is all kind of like a loop. So like mentally draw a circle for those of you who are not writing. Just be consistent. If you say that you are going to do the dishes every Wednesday, do the dishes every Wednesday, right? Like mm-hmm. don't do it for 2 Wednesdays to keep me quiet. And then you're frustrated because the argument is coming back up 4 months later because you only did it the 2 times. And you're wondering why I can't trust you to be consistent in other areas of our life, because you're showing me that you start things and don't finish them. So be consistent in the things that you say that you're going to complete and make part of whatever the ritual or routine or project is that you're agreeing to in your relationship. That includes if you have kids, you know, who's doing what with the kids, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The A is being aware of your own issues, you know, and I know, Cammie, you've heard when you point a finger at someone, there's 3 fingers pointed back at you. Right. So just because we are good, especially as women. I mean, let's,
oh,
let's
yeah.
be honest and raw.
We can cast that blame really quickly.
We can break you down to your cellular, molecule with all the things that's wrong with you if we're heated enough. But we won't often do the same with ourselves in that relationship. Now, we may do it personally or physically or about our body or something like that, or even in our business. But we won't necessarily do it when it comes to the relationship. So being really aware, maybe the way that you saw for, the power couples that I work with, we look at how did you see your guardians? You may not be biological parents, but lovers around you, what were they doing? And how are you bringing in some of those patterns into your relationship that are not serving you? Like, let's be really aware that just because it worked for someone you saw, so you thought, from a child's eyes, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it's actually the best thing for your lover, for your relationship. So the C is being consistent. The A is aware. The T is time for love. You cannot say that you feel like you're living in the shadows of mediocrity, that you are lonely and bored and you feel like a roommate, that the sex feels like a chore. You cannot say all these things and also say, but I just don't have time for it either. I'm not making time for the love that I say that I want, because that's not in alignment with your truth, which is why you feel exhausted from all of the things. So making time for it. And that starts with you. You can't have a we time if you don't have room for me time.
Right.
You have to be selfish enough. And I mean that in every way, be selfish enough to pour into yourself, fill up your own cup before you start pouring into someone else, including your lovers. That's right. The reality.
Right.
The second C is the first C was consistency, then awareness, then T for time. The second C is communicating your needs. So when we're talking about intimacy, listen, I need to be able to feel safe enough with you that I can say, honey, not right there, right here.
Right.
I don't like it when you touch me this way. Touch me more this other way. Don't use your hand, use your tongue. Like, I need to be able to give you that instruction without you feeling belittled, because I'm doing it enough where I'm only going to tell you what's best for us because I'm being really honest about what's best for me. Right.
Which totally makes sense.
Absolutely. If I'm happy in that department, you won't be extra happy. So that's the reality. Right. Mm-hmm. And, I'm picking on the physical, sexual part of that, but we can apply that to all the layers, right?
Absolutely.
Just communicate your needs. And if you're aware of some of the things that aren't working, you can actually get clarity before you get to that second C of communicating. And the H kind of ties right back to that first C. The H is honor your agreement. If you are saying, from a financial perspective, because finances is one of the number, top one, I think it vacillates these days, but it used to be the top number one reason why couples were, breaking up and deciding that this wasn't working, or holding on to kind of dead relationships that they weren't even interested in resuscitating, was because of financial conflict. If we say that anything that costs over $50, we're going to have a discussion about it. But then I say, well, this was an item for the house. So what? It was $500. I'm gonna do it anyway. And I don't have to, quote unquote, get permission, because now I'm feeling some type of way about it. Mm-hmm. Well, you're the one, Nikita, that said anything over $50 we would discuss. Like, you agreed to that. So you have to honor your agreement. And if it's not working for you anymore, go back up to that second C, which is communicate your needs. You know what? When we were young and in our 20s and didn't have much, $50 made sense. Now that we have a little bit more and we have bigger responsibilities and, dogs and cats and all kinds of things, we need a different agreement here. And being able to honestly say that versus seeing your partner in a space where you resent them, because that is not going to heat up the bedroom if you can't stand to look at each other because of all the other thoughts that are going on in your head. So
it's got to be a clear space to work with.
Absolutely. So that catch kind of technique is to really work with you, but also be able to kind of push it out to your forever love once you're ready to do that.
So good. It's so good. And it's so rich. It feels like, tell us how you deliver. I mean, do you work with couples one-on-one? Are you working in retreats? What's your approach?
Yeah. So my power couples is we call it 1 to 2 because I'm working in a power couple session. But I also, because they're individuals and I always want them to honor it and I want to mirror that honoring, we still work with them separately. So we do our individual work and bring them together. When we can safely go back to retreats, we will absolutely have retreats again. That is my favorite thing to be able to add in as part of the work, but we've, you know, for obvious reasons, we've kind of had to take that out.
Right.
And we do work with married women entrepreneurs. There's a few individual married women that I work with singularly, which is the one-on-one work, but most of them we encourage, since women have a visceral need for community and we thrive in the right, sacred, safe community, we usually have them go into our incubator, which we call the lab, the Unbound Brilliance Lab. Because they get to see that they're not alone. Like you have your own individual situation. So we still pull them out for some one-on-one work. But in the group, they see there's examples of other ways to be. There's ways that they can borrow from each other for creative ideas, for date nights and all kinds of different juicy things. And even how to show up in their business a little bit different when it comes to, you know, bringing that communication strength, I won't say issue, I had to watch my tongue, the strength, you know, the techniques that you're learning to apply to your relationships. Now they're able to kind of collaborate. Well, you know what? I'm having a team member that I'm struggling with that talks over me and mansplains too, the way my husband did or my forever love did. Now that we've learned how to work on that, usually the other women are like, oh, well, you know, Nikita and I worked on this and this is how this happened to help me with, you know, communicating with my team or this challenging client. Cami, you know how that works. That happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even, just showing up in our fullest, brightest light, right? The fire, mm-hmm. when our fire inside is lit up, we can show up in our best light.
Absolutely. 1,000%. So those are the key ways is our power couples are always private, some individual private for one-on-one with women, but most of the work we do with women individually before they, if they're ever ready to come into a power couple, because we know women make the decisions at the end of the day, is we help them get to where they want to be individually. And typically the forever love sees all the benefits and they say, tag me into, you know, I want to do this work. And then we bring them in as a couple. So.
Nice, nice. Where can people learn more about your work?
Yeah. So I would say if you're a married woman entrepreneur or a brave man, come on over to the Certified Selfless Facebook group. It is private and sacred space where we do all kinds of fun things. If you're not sure and need a little bit more information or clarity, then go over to figpro.com to our website and you'll be able to access all the avenues you need from there.
Awesome. Awesome. And we'll put those all in the show notes so everybody can access that. So this has been so good. And I could keep going on and on here. It's so much fun. We always close with a final question of what 3 pearls of wisdom would you like to share with our audience today? And you've given us so much richness already, but just really open up into full life here. And what are the 3 pearls of wisdom you'd like to leave?
That is a challenge because there's so many layers to it. I would say the gift that I would give you is really the gift of a gift, that, which is an acronym, of course, because who would I be? So it's 4, not 3.
That's fine.
there's a T in there. But always being in a space of gratitude so you can celebrate what you have and mm-hmm. what you've achieved, but not hiding behind gratitude. Some people hide and minimize themselves or, oh, I should just be happy for having this. When, you know, we were created to be in a space of A and D where we could have more, right?
Yes. Yes.
So gratitude that you celebrate, but you're not complacent within. The I is for imagining yourself forward, you know, imagine yourself becoming whatever that is. Like I had to imagine myself becoming who I am now. And I still have a long way to go to the other side because I still have breath in my body to do so. So lots of learning left for Nikita too. So G for gratitude, I for imagining, F for forgiveness. Mm. Forgive yourself first for anything you've done wrong, for any hurt, harm, you know, danger that you've ever put yourself in, your younger self, and even anyone else that has been around you that you unintentionally, and even to some degrees, maybe you were young and dumb, maybe intentionally, that forgive yourself first before you start, you know, trying to say that you forgive other people, because it's really hypocritical to give other people forgiveness and not forgive yourself for the very thing that you were a part of. And the T would be to take action in doing the one next thing that makes your life better, whatever that is. Just do that for yourself. If that's, I'm just going to start stretching every day so I can work my way up to running marathons, and start stretching every day. Just make sure you commit to that and honor your process.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, this has been so much fun, Nikita. I really have enjoyed hearing your wisdom, your stories, and all that you're doing in the world. Keep spreading your love and your wisdom. I really, I think there's a lot of people that really need that.
No, Cammie, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for bringing me here. And I hope that we continue to have many, many more conversations, even off air.
Absolutely. It's great to know you. It's absolutely great to know you. So you have a great day, and we'll talk soon.
You as well.
I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business for impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at cammiegelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.